Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care and the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee at 7:30. Get into kind of the reconstruction of his football program with him. Looking forward to that at 7:30. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com dropping by to talk all things Tennessee Titans in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm sure he'll be here as well for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 7:45.
You got a special one for him.
Oh, good.
He'll like it.
I didn't know that. I'm looking forward to it coming up at 7:45.
Just for him.
Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, the Preds have been on a roll as of late. Heading into the game last night, they had won 7 out of 8. They had won 13 out of 16 and were among the hottest teams in the league heading into action last night. Another one of the hottest teams in the league, the Vancouver Canucks, who were 21-9-2 on the year and had beaten the Predators twice. And they complete the season sweep last night of the Preds. They went 5-2. And really a game where the Preds, I thought, Joe, just were sloppy from the start. Didn't get a whole lot going. I thought Vancouver defended really well. Preds had a tough time generating really anything offensively last night. They got a couple looks here or there. Good shot by Jeremy Lauzon for his third goal of the year. And Cody Glass gets kind of a garbage time goal at the end of the game. But not much going on for the Preds offensively last night. It was the first period where literally like nothing was happening. It was just basically dumping the puck in and some turnovers in the neutral zone, and that was about it. And then Elias Pettersson with a beautiful goal to put Vancouver up 1-0, a mistake behind the net for the Preds, and then it's 2-0. And then Michael McCarron. So Lauzon makes a hit in the corner. I'm trying to remember who it was on Vancouver. Anyway, the player tried to fight him.
Dakota Joshua.
Dakota Joshua. There you go. Joshua tried to fight him. Lauzon wouldn't do it. And then Michael McCarron stepped in and was like, well, if you want to fight, let's fight. And he dropped his gloves. Johnson didn't do it, skated off. So when you drop your gloves and the other person doesn't, you get an unsportsmanlike penalty. So he got the unsportsmanlike penalty, and then he started mouthing at the ref, and he got the 10 and the gate and got shown the door.
But someone said something to him or something that he completely lost it.
I think he was mad about the penalty. Like he was
just mad about the penalty?
I think he was mad about it getting called for the unsportsmanlike. It was my read on it. But he gets kicked out, and then that was pretty much all she wrote. Preds made it 2-1 on the goal by Lauzon, and then 15 seconds later, that was gone, and Vancouver scored again.
Yeah, you felt in the building when they made it 2-1. Very nice. Very nice goal, by the way, for Lauzon. Okay, it came to life, and it was immediately. Yep, never mind.
Might have to start picking him in Preds pick to click.
Maybe. That reminds me.
Nobody's.
Yeah, Lauzon and Glass.
Nobody had Lauzon.
Nobody's. Yeah, good for Glass to. I mean, it's garbage time as it gets. But like Brunette said last night, well, good for him.
Well, you could tell Brunette like he's not been thrilled with the way that they played the last few games, and they've won them. And Saros, for the most part, has been outstanding. Like Saros was great in Montreal a few games ago. He's great against Washington again the other night. Like they've won some games because of their goaltending and how well he's played lately. And you know, I think the phrase Brunette used last night was like, it's been a while since we've played a good 60-minute game. Certainly didn't last night. Got two more chances here before the break. You got Philadelphia on Thursday on the road. Dallas coming back for some matinee hockey at Bridgestone on Saturday. So we'll see what that means. But certainly, I mean, last night Vancouver was the better team, and quite frankly, that's not been a very good matchup for the Predators this year.
No, they're fast, and they make the Preds look slow. I mean, I think that's one thing from last night for sure. And, you know, with Saros, he was – I don't know that I've seen him that animated.
He was very mad.
Angry.
When he got pulled.
When he left. Now, is he more mad at himself or mad at some of the goofy mistakes in the D zone that led to some of those opportunities?
I don't know. I mean, he gave up the fifth goal early in the third period. And it was just, I mean, he had a lot of net available on that play. And I don't know, like, it was one of those nights where it felt like just some simple mistakes that they made just didn't give you a chance to win. Like, the second goal, you give up the first goal by Pettersson, and it's just a great play by him. It's a great shot. There's not much you can do about it. Second goal, you got the puck behind the net, your shin trying to get it over to Barry, and Barry just skates right over the top of it. Doesn't have a stick on it. Goes off the net, bounces out to the middle of the slot. I mean, that's as good of a chance as you're going to find in the NHL.
It's a gimme.
Yeah, it's a gimme. So, I mean, it's stuff like that last night where, you know, Vancouver scored two goals in under a minute twice. You don't see that happen very often in NHL games.
Yeah. You know, one thing that struck me is, I guess it's not last night, but just big picture, is just sort of like the house money feel that this team has. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what happened, like, to me, I mean, they haven't already exceeded expectations because they could lose 20 games in a row and then it's a different story. But, like, I feel like there's just so much more grace for this team.
I agree.
Right? Like, it's just a totally different feeling this year just because there's nothing to complain about, really. Right?
Well, like, even last night. So they got dominated at times last night. Vancouver has been one of the best teams in the league this year, and the Predators have won 13 out of 16 heading in the game last night. Like, it's hard to be too upset after one stinker last night.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if this team is in there all the way and is playing important hockey games, one, that's valuable. There's value, of course. There's a lot of young players in this lineup who, you know, they want to have those high-pressure situations to play through, and again, to me, that's overachieving. So they're overachieving right now, but I mean, like, last night is one of those nights you watch them play and you're like, yeah, I mean, they don't match up player for player with the best teams in this league.
No, I mean, look, Vancouver, they got a heck of a power play. The Predators actually did a pretty good job of stopping on the power play last night, but I mean, Pettersson, Quinn Hughes might win the Norris this year. You know, that top line they've got is really good, and good news for the Predators is you don't have to see them anymore this year.
You're done.
So you're done with the Canucks until, you know, the Western Conference Final.
right.
You're done with Vancouver. But, look, I mean, I think it's about how do you respond this week. Clearly, Brunette has not been thrilled with the way things have been trending here, and he talked about that a little bit the morning skate yesterday and then last night after the game, kind of doubled down on it. You got a Philadelphia team coming up on Thursday that – I really dominated you the last time you played them, but you ended up winning the game because your goalie was amazing. So it's kind of what we've been talking about lately. And then Saturday, a Dallas team that is right there in front of you in the division and has been up and down with the way that they've played lately. So can you find a way, if you're the Predators, before you head into this Christmas break, to get some more to maintain some of the momentum that you've built up here? We talked about it yesterday. Like, they were never going to stay on a 13-3-0 pace. Like, that's a heck of a pace and a heck of a run they were on. So they are going to come back down to earth at some point here. Doesn't mean they can't make the playoffs. Doesn't mean they can't be fun to watch. Doesn't mean all those things. But, you know, 13-3-0 is a ridiculous pace that they're on. So that's going to come back down. Can you limit the damage as it does? And can you find a way to ramp back up on Thursday against Philadelphia?
Yeah, and get right back to – well, can you get right back to – Saros' numbers over that stretch, ridiculous.
Yep.
So, is it just throwing a stinker and then right back to that with him? I suspect probably is. I mean, I don't know if he's going to maintain that pace, but I'm sure he'll bounce back just fine. That's obviously a huge part of their success. I don't know, of five goals that he gave up last night, I mean, maybe one was like – questionable. I don't know. Like, maybe one where it's like, God, you really need to have that one. Okay. Two?
Yeah, maybe one. But, I mean, a lot of them were just right in front of the net.
Forget about
it. It's hard to do. I got a text that says, the grace ends this offseason if they don't go out and spend the cap space, or is the last playoff spot the goal every year?
Ooh,
let's get back in there.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I did not know that people were like that. I swear, it's just like total like, hey, whatever, it's all good. Yay, Preds. Whereas it's like, it's been years of like, you know, the total opposite. Yeah. And I'm not saying the grace is forever, but this is the first year of actually deciding to go in a totally new direction, right?
Yeah.
So I agree. They need to go out, and I don't know that you just spend to spend, but there's an opportunity for Barry Trotz to make a significant, you know, signing or two that could change things.
Yeah. And he talked on Stillman and Company yesterday. Like, I'm looking on Cap Friendly right now. They got $13 million cap space right now, which is only Chicago in the league has more. So they got plenty of room to operate with that a lot of teams around the league just don't have right now.
Yeah. So, like, the last playoff spot, is that the goal every year? No. But this year, I didn't think this would be a playoff team. So if this team gets the last playoff spot, I think you should applaud this team. You don't applaud the previous teams when they're trying to hold on to the past. This team is now embracing the future.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? What I don't understand is why McCarron got the 2 minute on Sports and Life, but the Vancouver player didn't, because Lozon didn't engage.
He didn't drop his gloves. That's why.
Specifically in the rule book says drop gloves?
Yes.
God, that. I understand that if we keep changing the rules, it's going to be a million.
It's been that rule for a long time.
That's tough.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's been that way for a good while now. So, I mean, it sucks. I don't like it. And obviously, look, I mean, the guy was hanging around there itching to fight Lozon, and then he skates off, and he looked at McCarron and was like, all right, guys, I'm not fighting you.
Like, yeah.
I think I'm going to pass on this one. So, I get it.
Like, wait, did you say something to me? I'm just going to keep skating.
That's what the rule is. So, that's why he got called for the penalty. You don't have to like it, but that's why he got called for the penalty.
Yeah. And then, I mean,
bottom line is, look, You cannot like the penalty. Like, you can't just lose your mind on the official after that either.
Right. That's the thing, you know. I mean, he was so upset. And that's why I was like, okay, not liking the penalty, but I was like, did someone say something about his mom in there? You know? Like,
I mean, I would love to know what all was said, but it looked to me like he was just upset about the penalty and was just giving it to the ref. And, you know, Brunette talked about it after the game about how you got to keep your emotions in check a little bit better than he did last night.
That's a loss. Not just a player in the lineup, but, I mean, he's been a nice factor for them.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll take more of your thoughts on the Predators. We'll also get into some Vanderbilt athletics, including one team that took another stunner last night. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be at Memorial Gym taking on Dayton. Tip off at 1 p.m. pregame beginning at 12:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Clark Lee coming up at 7:30. The early signing period beginning today. Should we just rename it National Signing Day? That's what it is, basically.
Do they still call the February one National Signing Day? Is that just a thing that's not?
I think it's technically called that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's. But all of it's so different now because half of the transactions that are out there are still like portal things right now. So it's like.
Apparently, Tennessee got a big portal commitment today from Oregon State.
But yesterday, Vol Twitter melting down because. Sensabaugh, cornerback, who actually I think was going to go to Vanderbilt, and then he's picked Missouri over Tennessee, and so now Josh Heupel needs to be fired.
Yes, I saw that. Nice level-headed response yesterday.
Heupel talks to – I mean, one thing, Heupel today, obviously all the coaches talk on signing day, but, like, I think Joe Milton's playing the ball game.
We'll see.
But, I mean, he hasn't opted out, which to me means he's just playing. Right?
I guess so.
But I guess Heupel can confirm that while talking about his class. There's like all these different rosters. Who's your bowl game roster? What's your signing day class?
What about transfers?
Who's your transfer portal class?
Yeah.
Who's signing late? Who's portaling out? Who is Ole Miss stealing from you?
Who's coming in the spring?
A lot to keep track of.
There's a lot going on, man. A lot going on. Speaking of a lot going on, Vanderbilt last night on the basketball side of things falls to Western Carolina, 63-62. The final
you sure
score.
That's an upset? You said an upset going into the break. I don't know that it is an upset.
Did I say upset?
I thought you said that. Or like they were stunned, a stunner or something
stunner.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't think it's a stunner anymore,
it's a stunner
man.
Vanderbilt 4-7. They lose to Western Carolina last night. The Catamounts, a powerhouse of basketball. Things getting pretty ugly with Jerry Stackhouse and this Vanderbilt men's basketball program. Look, they've had some injuries this year, but this is beyond just an injury thing for this team. They are terrible. They're a very bad team, and you lose to Western Carolina. They've had some ugly losses last night. It feels like Jerry Stackhouse is like all but fired at this point.
Yeah, I don't know for sure that he will be, but I think, you know, look, you look at the five years not being able to make it. I understand it's just a year after they were really good, and he's SEC Coach of the Year, and so they've been making this progress. But, like, you make steps, and I always thought, like, you got to give someone some time. Made steps in year three. They were pretty good. Lose Pippen. Still made steps in year four. I thought they should have been the tournament, and now it's, like, just falling off a cliff. So 5 years. I mean, I feel bad. You know, apart from Stackhouse, I really feel bad for Vanderbilt fans who have had that program, and they have baseball, but they've had that program for a long time to hold on to as a real source of pride. And it's a prideful program with great history, and it just shouldn't go this long. That's Stackhouse and Bryce Drew. It shouldn't have this stretch of futility and scenes like last night. We were at the Preds game, but people are tweeting out pictures of Memorial last night, and there's like five people in there. And I can't blame anybody, but I feel bad for the diehard Vanderbilt fan, especially because there was excitement about this team. I mean, I thought this team had a chance to be really good when Tyron Lawrence decided to come back. Ezra Magnon, he's a terrific point guard. Colin Smith, torn Achilles, he's out. I thought he was going to be good this year, so there's been some bad luck, but it's really bad. And back to Stackhouse. Yeah, look, I think I wasn't there, obviously, but the press conference, he's asked about how they were talking about trying to blow everybody out in the non-league, which was, you know, about the net rankings, because last year margin of victory could have helped them and stuff like that. And of course, now that's getting thrown back at him, and he sounds like he didn't enjoy that too much.
Well, the quote last night, Billy Derrick put this out of the George Plaster Show and of VandySports.com. Quote, it's hard to – you're talking about the comments he made of beating the hell out of everybody at SEC Media Days before the season began. Quote, it's hard to win college basketball games. That was sort of an off-the-cuff comment at Media Days that you guys are going to continue to run with. Feel free to do so, was the quote from Jerry Stackhouse last night. It's like, well, you said it, buddy. I mean, what do you want him to do?
Yeah. Yeah, this is actually – because that is the type of thing, you know, our guest coming in the studio today. Like, I do need, like, a month of Kaharsky covering Stackhouse because Kaharsky loves that stuff, right?
Yeah.
We were just talking about last night, you know, the 2019 says every time the Titans lost. Coach Vrabel, would you say this going from good to great, Coach Vrabel? Is this good to great? Huh? You said good to great. Like, can you imagine just a month of him and Stackhouse? Like, Stackhouse, I mean, I think there might be, like they might need, like, security.
By the way, you know what you've done to me when these Kuharsky impressions that you do? I'm sitting there watching Home Alone the other day, and Joe Pesci's over there screaming.
Hey.
I'm like, oh, God, it's Kuharsky. It's Joe Rex Rhodes' Kuharsky impression. It's Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
That's pretty good. Funny how?
Just saying.
How am I funny?
Yeah,
like a clown?
I would pay to see that. Yeah, look, my timeline on Twitter last night, there are some Vanderbilt fans that I am friends with that are diehard Vanderbilt fans that love their teams, love their sports, and basically all they do now is tweet at Candace Lee about who to fire. Like, that's what they've done for the last 3 months.
And people other than Stack?
Well, I mean, they did it with Clark Leader in football too. Season. Yeah. I mean, that's all it is now. It's just people tweeting Candace Lee left and right about who to fire.
Well, that's the thing. You get on social media, you know, AD's on social media, and you can offer personnel advice to them.
You can't.
I mean, was anybody tweeting to Danny White last night if they lost a 3-star corner?
I'm sure somebody did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Danny, are you seeing this?
Yeah. How could you employ him another day? No, but
they'll get Lane Kiffin. He's buying up everybody out there at Ole Miss.
Yeah. No, but it is. Look, I mean, I think it's a decision coming up, you know, for her with this. And obviously, I always look at with college tenures, it's always, to me, it's a big deal. The question is, did the AD in question hire the coach in question?
Yeah.
You know, Candace Lee hired Shea Ralph and Clark Lee. You know, she did not. Malcolm Turner hired Jerry Stackhouse. So that's also something to keep in mind. You know, David Williams hired Bryce Drew. So, well, Malcolm Turner did not. Bryce Drew's gone after year three.
Yep. That's how it works in college athletics. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. We'll get into the early signing period with him and some news on the transfer portal lately with Vanderbilt as well. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. It is the early signing period, National Signing Day, whatever you want to call it. Joe is all for it, change to National Signing Day.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. It's chaotic. It's more chaotic than ever.
It is. And with that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. Clark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing awesome. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So what is this day and this time of year like for you, Clark, with the transfer portal going wild? You've got the early signing period. I mean, there's all sorts of things happening in the world of college football. What is today like for you and your staff?
Well, today is a chance to breathe, honestly. I think it's, we've been kind of on the move here for the last few weeks. It's been a really challenging few weeks. And I think I speak for every program in the country that way. I mean, it's just, we're in a state of chaos, and I think eventually order will be brought to this. But in the meantime, we pause today to celebrate, the high school athletes that have chosen to sign, and I'm excited for that. We've also been able to kind of wrap up some of our portal activity here in the early portal window, which has been exciting for us. I can't wait again to get to January to get in front of the team and know who's here and know what, exactly the pieces we've added and start to set the course for, the 24 season. But today's a great day. We're taking the time to celebrate it.
Okay. Can you talk about transfer portal guys at this point, Clark?
I can't.
No signing at this point?
There's not signing. That makes it especially chaotic. That's about when they enroll. But I can talk generally about, the fact that we've been able to go out and, identify some guys that we feel like are going to help us move our program forward. And that's been a really energizing process. I think, so much of our growth here is going to come in a number of ways. Obviously, I've addressed some staff changes and just trying to evolve the way we coach and the way we train our team forward. That's also involved me taking on the responsibilities as defensive coordinator, which has been a lot of fun for me. I think that's been an exciting part of the last couple of weeks, just in terms of getting back in that seat and getting in front of our recruits that way. But, to go out and to be able to, have visitors, transfer visitors, and to get transfers committed to us and get that announced publicly from their Twitter accounts and so on and so forth. It's been energizing and exciting. I think it's a chance for us to breathe some new life into the program, to make some room for some fresh growth, and all good things. So, we come out of December heading into January, I think, strengthened in our position and excited to, again, start building this team forward.
Yeah, and a lot was made, of course, Clark, about, you know, some investment in the collective, the Anchor Impact Collective, which has, I guess, given you more ability to go out and be active in the transfer portal. Can you put that into perspective for us, how significant, how it came about, and how much we're seeing that now pay off?
Well, yes. First of all, I think everything's a lag effect. And so this investment obviously helps our position right now. You know, it's going to really help our position a year from now. And I mean that just to say, I think all things take time to settle and take time to take root. And this investment that we've, you know, been fortunate to have in our program, certainly in a moment where we knew we were going to have to fill some of the gaps on the roster in the portal. You can't do that unless you have strength in NIL. It's just you're not out and able to add to your roster without the NIL piece. And, you know, we essentially kind of came to that realization a year ago. I think even in the last year, NIL has become it has amplified, you know, even faster than I anticipated. And so with the Anchor Impact Fund, with, you know, what Candace Lee has allowed for us to do and how she's helped shape that vision and take action on our behalf. I mean, I can't say enough about the support and how excited I am because, you know, it gives us the opportunity. We'll never be a team that builds our roster out of the portal, but we need to support our efforts out of the portal. We need to have the ability to strengthen our depth. And add some top line pieces out of the portal. And again, without the Anchor Impact Fund, without the investment in our NIL collective, we wouldn't have an opportunity to do that. We'd be, you know, kind of stuck in this always growing from high school seniors.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee on with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. So Clark, you mentioned that the defensive coordinator duties that you're taking over, obviously as head coach, especially in today's landscape, there's a lot on your plate. What was the process like evaluating, you know, that decision to step in as defensive coordinator, and what were some of the factors that led you to making that decision?
Well, I think this will be my fourth year coming up. We've had the chance to establish a level of systems and process in our support staff. I feel really good about, you know, some of the leadership staff members and their ability to manage a lot of the things that, you know, before they get to my desk that come up and are part of the head coaching responsibilities. I think we have alignment there and I've got full confidence in that aspect of our program running smoothly. You know, the biggest thing to me was I want to see our product improve on the field. I want to play football better. And, you know, I think that comes down to how we teach, how we learn, and how we train. You know, I think the decision you make as head coach is you kind of manage that through coordinators, and part of that is giving people room to you know, create their vision. And you know, I don't believe in, you know, micromanaging people. You know, I think that everyone needs to feel like they have some ownership in what it is they're creating. Ultimately, for me, it was the feeling that, you know, I want to get the systems and process set for our defense. I want to build this around the players that we have, and I want to set the expectations for what it looks like to prepare the defense, you know, starting in January. You know, we the season again is just a lag effect of all the investment you put in the winter, and it seemed to me like there was just a lot of gains that we could make just by focusing on the details and again, going back to how we teach, how we learn, how we train. And so for me, it's something that I'm excited for. Obviously I realize that, you know, it's also going to stretch me in ways that I haven't been stretched in this position, but the idea that I'm going to be in front of our players every day, and certainly defensive players, being able to share my passion for teaching and for defense and for what I believe elite defense requires of us. I think we're closer than it feels. I think that when I look at us play and when I see areas where we can coach better, we can position our team better, we can adjust our structures better, that'll eat up some of those margins that we need to win. And I'm just excited to do it. And again, for me, what better way to have impact and imprint on our roster than to be in front of those guys every day, sharing my passion and energy as a coach. And I've missed doing that. And so it's been really exciting for me to get back involved that way.
So, Clark, you hire Tim Beck as offensive coordinator to New Mexico State. And as asked earlier, you know, in the portal, I guess without being specific, potentially the quarterback run game is a bigger part of the offense. What is the vision with Tim, with the new pieces added offensively? What can you tell us about what this offense will look like next year?
Well, we want to have the ability to be dynamic at the quarterback position. And I think part of the, when you look back at some of our struggles, I feel like one of the things I was evaluating in the coordinator search was having a system that's quarterback friendly. And what I mean by that is just not putting so much on the quarterback's plate, allowing them to play fast and free and to make rapid decisions with the ball. You know, I felt like at times, some of the progressions that we were asking of them, we were just taking too long to develop. And, to me, it, at times we were holding on to the ball. And obviously that ended up impacting, our sack rates and the pressures that we were getting on the quarterback. And you get the quarterback hit, you get the quarterback sacked, you're not, your chances of scoring go way down. So, for me, it's a matter of being dynamic at that position, trying to install a system where the reads are maybe a little bit easier and can happen a little bit faster. And then the ability in that position also to problem solve, I think is so important for us. And so having someone that has the ability to extend the play, to convert with their legs, to find explosive runs, at the quarterback position. I know as a defensive coach, now you have to account for all 11 players on the field. And that for me is, a part of this formula. And so I'm excited about that. And obviously we've been able to boost that position that way. And we'll continue to look to do that, all in an effort to sustain drives, to score points, and to position the offense to be what we know it can be.
Well, Clark, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. The signings continuing to roll in all morning long. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great to be with you guys. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com is in attendance. And Rex Road apparently has a special rant just for Kuharsky.
Well, he keeps calling
we'll
me
see.
Out.
We'll
he
see.
He keeps
how
calling
special.
Me out. Yeah, we'll see. We will see.
That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Some added pressure on Wednesdays. Rants typically haven't gone well with Kuharsky in here.
Yeah,
a lot of disaster.
Because he last says week. There's added pressure does not mean there's added pressure.
Well, no, we just think it's a fact. Your performance says that there's added pressure.
Dalton correct? Connect, the greatest transfer ad in Tennessee sports history.
What about Hendon Hooker?
Second greatest. Yeah, it's not that I say it. It's the performance says it. Then you and I review it.
Well, then you obviously don't listen to the rant enough because it's bad most days, okay?
That's good.
Yes, I'm not up in time for the rant on a lot of days.
All right. Make sure you tune in at 7:45 every day.
Today, a little bit of a special thing. I'm going to – I would now – it's almost like a reading of the night before Christmas, but instead I will perform a reading from paulkuharsky.com.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And this is a free, so I don't feel like I'm violating your paywall, so we're good. All right, here we go.
Is that bad
headline? Kindly shut up about the Titans shutting it down.
Dateline, Nashville, Tennessee. Games are played all the time in leagues all over North America and beyond with no playoff implications. Titans fans are used to them. They haven't had a view since 2015 when the team went 3-13. There's a Vrabel quote. It's new, right? Let me remind the readership how it works. They just play, same as if they're in contention. There's a kickoff at the start, and the clock expires at the end. Handoffs and throws and punts and kicks, penalties and timeouts, the whole deal. They don't bubble wrap every guy who needs his ankle tape, and they don't put every project who's been inactive in the starting lineup. Yes, it's unfortunate the games don't have playoff implications, but they're still scheduled and broadcast. People who pay for these tickets expect the product, and the players and coaches still get direct deposits.
Should I continue?
That's an excellent piece. I just wish it was more understandable without the over-the-top impression.
We'll keep going. We'll get some Vrabel quotes, a little butt-kissing of Vrabel.
You can be as down on Vrabel, Coach Vrabel, as ever.
I did not call him Coach Vrabel.
I can't understand what they were doing with these fruitless first down running. I wish he'd made different choices. I'm baffled by the organization's personnel decisions. But I don't doubt his love of the game or that he will continue to try to convey it no matter what's changed from last week to this week. I bet you've got a college team in a bowl game, the absolute definition of a meaningless game. And you find a way to convince yourself it's got some meaning. You may even throw a little party for the occasion. It's got recruiting repercussions and so much meaningful carryover for those darn kids, Paul. And if they win one for alma mater, it won't hurt our draft position.
Dang.
We had a few accent changes in there, I feel like.
He can't maintain.
All right, I got to go to the end.
Why will Levis, Simmons, Kyle Phillips, Josh Wiley, and Sean Murphy Bunting want to get back out there if it's possible? Because they're football players who play football for a living. They aren't looking for reasons not to play. They're looking for reasons to play. I don't understand why so many people are so desperate for them not to. It's not that complicated.
The end.
Great piece.
Thank you. The funny thing is,
who wrote that? Really good piece.
I basically agree with this, but I just love that Kaharski.
So it's another failed ring.
I know.
He reads the piece to mock me, and then
five
he goes
different accents.
Yeah, I agree with it.
The rant can be complex, Paul, and I agree
you
with it.
You certainly try to make it complex.
I agree with it, but the fact that your headline is kindly shut up about the Titans shutting
amazing.
It down.
It's a great headline.
Kindly
it's
a shut up.
The traffic has been excellent on that piece.
It's a holiday gift to all of
mostly
us.
Mostly agreeing with it. A lot of people saying they're coming in for their one game of the season. They expect to see them try. And to field the functional football team. I mean, so many people think like, okay, sit Harold Landry down and get Caleb Murphy in there, the guy that we're paying millions and millions. Just sit him down. Time to see Caleb Murphy. It's just ridiculous. And I think the bowl game comparison is superb.
Oh, yeah.
The bowl game is important.
You love to rip. You love
the bowl
to rip
game
football.
Is vitally important. But these games that are meaningless, it hasn't happened.
I feel like
since
my rant has him flustered.
It hasn't.
I feel like my rant has you flustered a little bit.
It hasn't happened since 2015 that there have been non-playoff implication games here. So people are like in an utter panic. They don't know what to do. But it seems like they think the game should be canceled.
They're just dumb.
Robbie, do you have any thoughts?
Dennis on the text line says this rant is an early Christmas gift. A lot of people very happy with the rant selection from Rex Road today.
Zach.
I mean, this is encouraging you. You could just read my piece of the day in the accent and get good feedback.
Well, see, my accent is.
The accent wavered.
We started on Joe Pesci, and I'm not sure where we ended up.
There was a lot of stilly in there.
Well, but again, my entire goal in impersonating you is to be the dude from Jerky Boys. I've got warts all over my, you know, that guy. Like, that's what I'm
that
trying
terribly.
To do.
At Jerky Boys 20 years ago, I haven't memorized that guy's accent. How about you, Riley?
No, I have not.
Need to get on Spotify.
Do you know what the Jerky Boys is?
Yes, oh, yeah. I do, okay. But I have not.
I know you do. I'm not talking to you. How about you, Keezer?
There's
Jerky
no way.
Boys?
Keezer has no idea.
There's no way.
Heard of the Jerky
no
Boys?
Way.
It's okay if you haven't.
No.
Okay.
The guy's 20.
For anybody, I understand.
The Jerky Boys were on when he was
Robbie
not
is
born.
Also young. Robbie is young, and he knows
but
all these
he's
things.
He's wise beyond his
Robbie's
years.
30.
31.
Wow, okay.
Wise
what are you,
beyond
24?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's a huge gap.
Huge, yes.
Very huge.
In this day and age, that's a big gap.
Yeah. So anyway, but Jerky Boys has been my
motivation,
intent, and at times I haven't hit it. So I wanted to do an extended, you know, an extended read to
it's
try to.
It's hard when you're doing. I know this myself. When you've got a touchstone for the impersonation, and you go for a long time, and you can't find the touchstone again. And you got to get back to your keyword. I mean, if you're reading a piece and the keyword isn't in the piece, it's very hard to get back on track.
I mean, Kuharsky's had some impressions in his days. I mean, he used to do the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier. It was beautiful.
Pitch and catch, pitch and catch. Yeah, we're just going to toss it out there.
That sounds nothing like Steve Spurrier.
That's the beauty of it. It's just Spurrier. It doesn't sound anything right.
The pitch and catch.
Listen, you guys go out there and practice. Practice. You pitch and catch it. I'm going to golf. That's all I do.
Jadeveon.
I love the way I say Jadeveon. And there's another guy, too, whose name, who's the one guy whose name I love saying. Can't think of it right now because I'm senile now. I just golf. I can write the numbers in the boxes on the golf cart. I can tell you that.
This was a good rant.
You feel like Titans fans have given up on the meaning of the three games here. There's one part of this about this that drives me nuts, and we talked about it earlier in the show to begin the show with Joe. But saw a lot on Titans Twitter yesterday. Well, they ought to put in Malik Willis so they can see what he has.
They know what he has.
Let's say, how many times do we have to see Malik Willis to figure out what he's got?
The thing is, they might go with Malik Willis. But if they go with Malik Willis, it's not about seeing what Malik Willis has. It's about doing a favor for Ryan Tannehill and getting him to free agency healthy. If they go with Malik Willis, that's what it's about. And Vrabel, oddly, didn't commit to Ryan Tannehill being the guy if Levis can't go. I think that's entirely what it's about if they go with Malik. It's like, not this we've got to see Malik thing.
Right. But like I said earlier, I don't see how you can, as you made the point here, they're trying to win. They're trying to play football. It's what they do. And so Vrabel's asking everything of those guys this week, next week, the week after that, on Sunday, all through the week, right? And then you're not going to play your best option at quarterback?
No, I think it'd be ridiculous.
I don't see how you can do that. To go along with the theme, which is correct, yeah, you do whatever you can to try to win football games. It's just whether people like it or not. Texter says, on the text line driven by WilsonHoney.com, says, that impersonation was actually dead on. It was hard to tell the difference when Paul started talking. Mm. Well, well, well.
Well, well.
I think we have our answer.
I think we have a Paul hater.
Why are you such a Paul hater?
Who said that? Who said it? I don't know.
I don't know. Joe on the text line says, if a Gamecock could talk, it would sound exactly like Paul's Steve Spurrier impression.
If an actual Gamecock
cross between
could speak.
A human and a Gamecock.
What was I doing when we were off air? I had a good one, and now I forgot who it is, my other impersonation.
I don't know. We got to figure this out.
I do a good George Plaster.
Go for it.
Well, hello there, everybody. We're going to have Christmas Sorrow on for an hour and a half to talk about Middle Tennessee and everything that's unfolding there. You're not going to want to tune away. The lines are loaded.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Way to go.
All right.
Any more impressions you got, Joe? You want to keep throwing them out there?
No. Look, this was about PK.
Honing in on PK.
PK thinks that I'm nervous about PK with my rant. I'm not at all. My rants aren't very good often, okay?
So
they kind of suck sometimes.
It was a weekly segment that was forced into a daily segment. We know that.
Would you say that this has been the best rant that you've witnessed in person from Rex Road, or has it gone even more downhill? What do we think? What's the verdict?
If by best you mean worst, yes. And that's what we're striving for, right? You and I.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You didn't like that at all? Come on, man. I
read
your piece. It was an
amusing idea for a while.
The thing is, I wanted to read a lot more of it, but I was making myself laugh too much.
And you lost the action.
It was a swift deterioration.
It was more like Jared Stillman reads Paul Kuharsky.
615-737-1025. It is easy to conflate the two. It is. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get hot and heavy into all things Tennessee Titans with Paul from PaulKuharsky.com. We'll take your thoughts as always. 615-737-1025. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 16 matchup against the Seahawks, give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Robbie and Rex Road.
Pharaoh.
Pharaoh Cooper was the guy I was trying to think of. That was one of my favorite players, Pharaoh Cooper.
Jadeveon.
Thank you to Willie Sales who reminded me that. I need Willie by my side all the time and remind me my names when I'm talking about pitching and catching.
Pharaoh.
Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.